All Things Wise and Wonderful by James Herriot. Read by Nicholas Ralph. This omnibus edition comprises Vets Might Fly and Vet in a Spin.
To my dogs, Hector and Dan, faithful companions of the daily round. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Cecil Francis Alexander, 1818 to 1895. Chapter 1.
Move! Bawled the drill corporal. Come on, speed it up!
He sprinted effortlessly to the rear of the gasping, panting column of men and urged us on from there. I was somewhere in the middle, jog-trotting laboriously with the rest and wondering how much longer I could keep going. And as my ribs heaved agonizingly and my leg muscles protested, I tried to work out just how many miles we had run. I had suspected nothing when we lined up outside our billets. We weren't clad in PT kit, but in woolen pullovers and regulation slacks, and it seemed unlikely that anything violent was imminent. The corporal, too, a cheerful little cockney, appeared to regard us as his brothers. He had a kind face.
"All right, lads,"
he had cried, smiling over the 50 new airmen.
"We're just going to trot round to the park, so follow me. Left turn, at a double, quick march, if die.
That had been a long, long time ago, and we were still reeling through the London streets with never a sign of a park anywhere. The thought hammered in my brain that I had been under the impression that I was fit. A country vet, especially in the Yorkshire Dales, never had the chance to get out of condition. He was always on the move, wrestling with the big animals, walking for miles between the fellside barns. He was hard and tough. That's what I thought. But now other reflections began to creep in. My few months of married life with Helen had been so much lotus eating. She was too good a cook, and I was too faithful a disciple of her art. Just lounging by our bedsitter's fireside was the sweetest of all occupations. I had tried to ignore the disappearance of my abdominal muscles, the sagging of my pectorals, but it was all coming home to me now.
"It's not far now, lads," the corporal chirped from the rear.
But he struck no responsive chords in the toiling group. He had said it several times before, and we had stopped believing him. But this time it seemed he really meant it, because as we turned into yet another street, I could see iron railings and trees at the far end. The relief was inexpressible. I would just about have the strength to make it through the gates, to the rest and smoke which I badly needed because my legs were beginning to seize up. We passed under an arch of branches which still bore a few autumn leaves and stopped as one man, but the corporal was waving us on.
"Come on, lads, round a track,"
he shouted, and pointed to a broad earthen path which circled the park. We stared at him. He couldn't be serious. A storm of protest broke out.
"Oh, no, Corp, have a hiccup."
The smile vanished from the little man's face.
"Get moving," I said. "Faster, faster. 1, 2, 1, 2.
As I stumbled forward over the black earth, between borders of sooty rhododendrons and tired grass, I just couldn't believe it. It was all too sudden. 3 days ago I was in Derby, and half of me was still back there, back with Helen. And another part was still looking out the rear window of the taxi at the green hills receding behind the tiled roofs into the morning sunshine. Still standing in the corner of the train as the flat terrain of southern England slid past and a great weight built up steadily in my chest. My first introduction to the RAF was at Lord's Cricket Ground. Masses of forms to fill, medicals, then the issue of an enormous pile of kit. I was billeted in a block of flats in St. John's Wood, luxurious before the lush fittings had been removed. But they couldn't take away the heavy bathroom wear, and one of our blessings was the unlimited hot water gushing at our touch into the expensive surroundings. After that first crowded day, I retired to one of those green-tiled sanctuaries and lathered myself with a new bar of a famous toilet soap, which Helen had put in my bag. I have never been able to use that soap since. Scents are too evocative, and the merest whiff jerks me back to that first night away from my wife, and to the feeling I had then. It was a dull, empty ache, which never really went away.